It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we have had just completed a week of some spectacular weather. And I hope that you had a chance to get out and enjoy some of it, because it was really a pretty nice respite after a second half of October that turned out to be pretty darned ugly. Actually, there was enough ice on my lake that I went out and tried to get out to the ice. And that's always a tricky business at my lake, because I have this marshy shoreland of floating bog and grasses that sort of retard the ice formation. And it's, even though the ice on the lake might be thick enough to hold me, the ice getting to the open water is sometimes treacherous. And this year it was no exception. I took a few steps and ended up wet to the knees, and that was enough. I decided to go do something else for a while. I haven't been skating yet, but I thought I might have an opportunity to skate in October. Not this year. Among the observations I made this past week, several had to do with birds. Dave Lorenz in the Grand Rapids area reported a Brewer's blackbird. We've had a couple of reports of black bears, one in the student reports this week and one from a listener. So still a few bears out. And, of course, this time of year with deer season, you get a lot of people wandering around in the woods. And some of those male bears that are pretty casual about their sleeping arrangements for the winter, those that have maybe just curled up in the roots of a downed tree or laying down in a bunch of cattails or just chosen a little nest somewhere up against the base of a white pine, like the one I discovered one year. They can be kicked out. Bears don't truly hibernate in the sense of the technical definition of hibernation, and that would be, you know, falling asleep, having your body temperature drop a long way, have your respiration and your heart rate slow way down. Bears don't do that so much. Their heart rate and their respiration slow a little bit, but their body temperature stays pretty much right where it has been, within a few degrees of where it is most of the year. So they maintain a pretty warm body throughout the winter, and they aren't so deeply asleep that they can't be awakened by the close approach of somebody. So that often deer or bear seen this time of year are often kicked out by deer hunters. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the skies lately, but I had a few semi-quiet days working outside while it was so warm this past week, and the ravens around my house were making some of the most unusual calls that I have ever heard ravens make, and it's astonishing. I have read that ravens have more than 40 different calls that they make, and I must have heard 30 of them this past week. And they have been active all week long. I stepped out of my garage. I was walking back toward the house after getting some tools. And I heard this whoosh, 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 heavy wing beats right over my head. And I looked up, and like 40 feet up, two ravens, one chasing the other, and not a sound from these two, but one of them was definitely making every effort not to be overtaken by the other. And they flew around in my yard, and they flew across the tamarack bog between me and my neighbor where the eagle's nest is now. They flew up near the eagle's nest. They chased for quite some distance, and I was watching them throughout. And I don't know if they were driving somebody away or what, but I was talking to my neighbor, Marvin, and Marvin puts out a little bit of corn in the fall it's wood ducks, and this time of year, occasional deer comes in his yard and eats. And One day he said there were like 20 ravens in his yard eating corn. And this, according to Bernd Heinrich, who has written several good books about ravens, this may have been a group of unmated adults and juveniles that were traveling together. And Heinrich mentions in his book, The Mind of the Raven, that these flocks of unattached birds will come into a territory owned by a couple of ravens, and they will just, you know, if they find a food source there, they're going to exploit it and they're going to clean it out. So if there's a deer or a bear or some large animal that died, the ravens discover it, they're going to come to it. And not only are they going to come to it, but these flocks of roving adults and juveniles, they actually, if one of them or two of them discover this source of food, when they go back to join the flock at the roost at night, they will pass that information to the other ravens, and the next day, all of them will come. Now, if you're on a territory and you just have two adult ravens who control the territory, a mated pair, which is the case where Marvin and I live, that mated pair will do their very best to be very, very quiet and to exploit that resource for as long as they can without losing any of it to competition. So they will not announce any discovery of food except to the other and mate, and they will exploit that source of food as long as they can. If it's meat, they'll hack off chunks and haul them away and hide them and do whatever they can to disperse that food source until they control it. They often get in struggles with these big flocks because these big flocks just come in and they, you know, it's like, hey, it's just two ravens. How bad can it be? We're going to go get that food. And so there's a lot of this kind of competition going on. And I wondered this past week if some of that might be happening, because there were a number of ravens kind of talking back and forth. And then there were the two ravens and there were these chase flights and there was just a lot of raven activity. And I wish I knew more about the mind of the raven. And I may have to reread Bernd Heinrich's book on ravens, because it is astonishing what those birds are doing and can do. I mentioned the eagle's nest in passing in that story about the ravens. The eagles have been on the nest over the past several weeks, and I hear them morning and evening calling from the nest. And my neighbor, again, Marvin, and I got together yesterday for a brief discussion, and we talked about his granddaughter, who is an avid deer hunter. She just got married this past year, and she and her new husband came up to Marvin's, and right away on Saturday morning, they shot a deer, a nice buck, a nice 6-point buck. And they were pretty thrilled because they were actually together in the stand. Marvin has these nice little homey little stands and room enough for two, because he has often hunted with his granddaughter up to this point. But he said he was just thrilled that she and her husband were able to harvest a deer off of his land, and he didn't have to do a thing. He said this is the first year in, I think he said, 70 years that he has not gone out deer hunting on opening day. That doesn't mean he's not going to be deer hunting. It just means he hasn't gone out yet. But we had this lovely conversation, and after they shot the deer, he took his, I guess it would be his grandson-in-law, and they drove around the property, and at one point they were in a position on Marvin's land where you can look at the eagle's nest, and the son-in-law got to see the eagle's nest, never seen one before, and the eagle was on the nest, and that he hadn't seen before either. And later, after running some trails, they came out to the end of my driveway where you can kind of look over and see the eagle's nest, and as they did, the eagle took off and flew from the nest, and the son-in-law was just absolutely, the grandson-in-law was absolutely just taken with the whole scene. So it was a wonderful Saturday morning for that couple, and for my neighbor Marvin, for that matter. So The Eagles are pretty active right now, and I hope that they will remain around. You know, the Eagles, some migrate, some don't. They kind of go as far as they have to go in order to find food and water. And if they can do that right at their home site, they'll stay. I had a moth flying around last week. I'm not sure what species. I just was, it was just before dark, probably around 4:30. And here's this moth beating around up at the window by my house. And so I got a chance to see one active moth at the end of the season. I hate to say this out loud and on the air, but yesterday morning when I walked outside, right just after sunrise, there were five ruffed grouse in the hawthorn, or it's a crab apple. It's got those little decorative, you know, apples about the size of a cherry or a little smaller. And there were five of them in there. I was just astonished. I didn't know I had five grouse around, but they, I heard five of them. I heard and saw five of them move from the trees to safer ground. I'm happy to report that many of them came back later in the day for a second attack at that pile of apples that are still there. A couple of robins working that group of trees as well. You may have noticed in the last day or two, or last week or so, a tree that is still holding its leaves that that isn't an oak or an ironwood. This one has kind of silvery white-looking leaves on it, and the tree is never very tall. It's kind of rounded and sort of spreading, a bit like a box elder. And if you went up and looked at the leaves, you might think it was some kind of maple because the leaves are lobed, a bit like the maple leaves. But this is white poplar. It belongs to the populus family, and it is a decorative tree that people plant in their yards. It's one of those trees from somewhere else, not native to this area, but nonetheless has these lovely white leaves on them right now. So look for those. And as I look out the window here at KAXE, I see that the river birch are still holding a few leaves. The snow buntings have arrived. My wife saw some this past week. I saw one this past week, and we've had a number of reports of snow buntings. The fox sparrows and American tree sparrows seem to have moved on, although yesterday I saw a single fox sparrow out in my yard eating, and with them, the dark-eyed juncos. I think a lot of the very warm weather maybe prompted these birds to head south. Had a report of a common garter snake over the weekend, and my co-host this morning, Sarah, has reported seeing a couple of garter snakes out this past week. Lots of reports from around the area of wood frogs singing. In fact, Cass, Hubbard, Beltrami, and Itasca counties all had reports from them of wood frogs. Our good friend John Guida down in the Brainerd area had a nice picture of a painted turtle on a rock last Saturday. And my dog managed to kill another short-tailed shrew. Now, the short-tailed shrew is an interesting little animal. Blarina brevicauda is its scientific name. It is the only poisonous mammal in North America. There is a poisonous mammal, that an insectivore, that lives on some of the islands in the Caribbean. But in North America, the short-tailed shrew is the only poisonous mammal that we have. And a bite from this animal will quickly kill a mouse or a vole. But unless you're one of those people who goes into anaphylactic shock when you get stung by a bee, this bite from this critter would probably not be too damaging to you. Never a good idea to handle any mammal. I tell my students when I'm talking to them that if you pick up any mammal, any furry animal, regardless of its size, you've got to expect that it's going to bite you. And if it's alive. And that's just the way it is. They're going to bite you in order to get away. And if you pick up a short-tailed shrew, that may happen. Now, the short-tailed shrew is kind of a 4-inch long, furry little critter. All the shrews have a really pointed nose. Not at all like a mouse's nose, very long point. If your dog has killed one and you pick it up, pull the lip back and look at the teeth. The teeth of the shrews are all tipped in brown. And so that will help you identify it as a shrew and not a vole. It has a short tail, about an inch long. No obvious eyes, no obvious ears. It's just a sleek little gray-brown creature that that is pretty prevalent around the area and spends a lot of time eating insects and spiders and centipedes and all the things you don't like. Truthfully, this thing would make a great pet for your home. You know, I mean, think about it. You see all those gross little bugs running around your house? Turn loose the shrew, man. You're going to be golden. Just let me tell you from personal experience, that doesn't work. I mean, it works for me. It doesn't work for my wife. There's something about it that just doesn't balance for her. But I can see your point. I mean, yeah, okay. The short-tailed shrew. I hope you get a chance to run across one. Tamaracks are down to their last little ratty orange needles. That's about the end of it for them. I did have a flowering dandelion this past week, which was surprising. Steve Young from Nebish said that the other day he was out walking and found a nightcrawler crawling along on the road. So still one of those around anyway. And as I walked over to my neighbor Marvin's yesterday, I couldn't help but notice the bright green crested wood fern, Dryopterus cristata, which is one of those ferns that doesn't turn brown in the fall. So if you're walking along and you're seeing ferns, chances are it's a wood fern, a Dryopterus. It may not be the cristata. There are several species, but many of them remain green throughout the winter. So check them out. That's the Phenology Show for this week. As always, if you have notes or observations you'd like to send along, please send them in. We'd love to hear from you.